Praise ye the Lord, and to God be the glory forever and ever. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want to welcome you to today's time of divine inspiration. And I pray that as the word of the Lord comes to you today, you'll be blessed richly and your life will be transformed in Jesus' name. I began a few days ago on the subject of power of importunity, the power of importunity. And we've been able to read a few scriptures from Isaiah 62 to the book of 2 Kings chapter 13. And a few other passages of the Bible that emphasizes on the power of importunity. Isaiah 62, as we have read, declares, "For Zion's sake I will not rest, for Jerusalem's sake I will not hold my peace, until the righteousness thereof goes forth like brightness." And then verse 6 and 7 declares, "I have set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence." That's what it says, keep not silence. So I want to continue from where we stopped. The Almighty God encourages us not to keep silence over the issues that has to do with His promises for your life, for my life. He says, don't keep silence. God encourages us to continue to mention that case, that matter before Him. He says in verse 7 of Isaiah 62, he said, "Don't give him rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth." Don't give him rest. So even if it takes a year, 2 years, 10 years, 25 years, he says, don't give him rest until he establishes it and brings it to pass. There's an interesting story in the book of John 20, and I want to read that to us. This is very relevant to what we're talking about on the power of importunity. In the John chapter 20 from verse 1, "In the first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved." Of course, that talks about John. "And said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." He says, we don't know where they have laid him. "Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre." Now this is a scene where Mary Magdalene had gone to look for Jesus in the sepulchre. She couldn't find him, and she went to consult with Peter and John, who seemed to be elders of the church or senior men of God. And Peter and John came to the sepulchre to help her search for Jesus, and they couldn't also find Jesus. The Bible says, "He stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lying." Now, when both of them looked for Jesus in the sepulchre, they didn't find Jesus. Then verse 10 says, "Then the disciples went away again unto their own home." That's Peter and John. Verse 11 declares, it says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, and she continued to weep. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre again and again. And now she saw two angels, they were in white, sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain." Now one would have thought that after Mary saw those angels, that should be a consolation prize for her, or that should be a consolation reward for her waiting. But the Bible tells us that Mary kept weeping and praying and longing. That's importunity at work. The power of importunity is very important We need to engage it in our Christian walk with God. Let's not give up too easily on requests, especially when it conforms to the will of God the Father. Is it God's will for us to be healed? Yes. Is it God's will for us to prosper? Yes. Is it God's will for us to be delivered? Yes. Is it God's will for us to be fruitful? Yes. It is clearly written in the Word of God that God desires that we prosper, we are fruitful, we are delivered, we are saved, we are healed. God desires that we are fruitful in the work of the kingdom. So it's the will of God. And so when we make requests and pray to God in line with these promises of God, God wants us to stand fast and stand firm. And that's what importunity is all about. Peter and John came to help Mary to search for Jesus. And after some search, they couldn't find him. The Bible tells us Peter and John went back to their own home. In verse 10 of John 20, they went back home. And today, there are many believers who, so to speak, are going back home. When I say going back home, this is figurative, it's metaphoric. Peter and John went back home. They went back home to the place where Mary came to fetch them. But Mary stood, according to the scripture, Mary stood and continued to weep. Verse 11. She continued to make her request. She continued to ask. She continued to search. She continued to seek. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The kingdom of darkness, the powers of hell, the agents of the devil, they know how to engage the power of importunity. Oh yes, they know how to engage this principle and the power of importunity. And it has worked for them sometimes. Look at in Judges chapter 16, for example. It was the power of importunity that Delilah engaged, and she won the battle against Samson. The Bible says in Judges 16, the Bible declares that, and it came to pass that she pestered him with her words daily. That's the word that was used. Delilah pestered Samson with her words daily. And daily, Delilah continued to ask Samson, where is the secret of your power? Where does the secret of your great strength lie? And she continued daily to pester him. Samson didn't come out to tell her the truth, but Delilah didn't give up. Until Samson told her all his heart, the Bible makes us to understand that Samson became so worn out because of the continuous persistence of Delilah. So the powers of darkness, they know how to engage this principle of importunity, and sometimes they get it. God wants us to be importunate. Look at in the Garden of Eden, the devil, the serpent, was importunate in his demand towards Eve. You know, they engage in a dialogue, and Eve replied the serpent and, you know, told the serpent, this is God's counsel and God's will for our lives. But the serpent went back again and continued to pester Eve that, oh no, God knows that the day you eat it, you shall become like gods yourself, knowing this and that and that. And when the serpent continued to pester Eve, Eve gave up, Eve succumbed, and that led to the downfall of man. What about Herodias? In Mark 6, verse 17 to 29, Mark chapter 6, 17 to 29, John the Baptist had rebuked and scolded Herod that what he did was wrong. You shouldn't have taken your brother's wife. You shouldn't have hijacked or snatched your brother's wife. But Herodias was upset with John the Baptist because, of course, Herodias wanted that relationship. And the Bible says in that scripture that Herodias looked for a way of apprehending John and killing John. But the Bible says everybody feared John because he knew he was a prophet. And even Herod could not touch John. John was untouchable, but Herodias didn't give up. Then the Bible says, and there came an opportune time when Herod had his birthday, and Herodias' daughter danced and pleased him and made a request. And when he made Herod promised that he will give her up to half of the kingdom. Ask anything you want. And she consulted with her mom, and Herodias said she should request for the head of John the Baptist. Now, this was importunity, and she got it. She got the head of John the Baptist. She didn't give up. This was several years after John scolded Herod and Herodias that what they were doing was wrong. That was adultery. But the Bible says Herodias tried her best to kill John, to apprehend John, but she couldn't find opportunity. And then she kept trying. She was importunate until she got John the Baptist's head. So you see that the powers of darkness, the agents of the devil, they have engaged this principle in times past. And so to speak, it has worked for them. God wants us to be importunate. Don't throw in the towel too easily. Peter and John went back home while Mary stood at the sepulcher. And when she stood, heaven gave her what I call consolation prize or consolation answer. And the consolation answer was to make visible two angels. Two angels appeared to her to kind of console her. And she would not settle for the angels. The Bible says, and while she saw the angels, she even asked the angels in verse number 13 and 14 that, "Where is my Lord? Where have you kept Jesus?" And the angels were trying to commune with her, but she wouldn't give up. She kept asking for Jesus. Her focal point was Jesus. She wanted Jesus or nothing. And finally, in verse 15, Jesus showed up, finally. And when Jesus showed up, he said to her, "Why are you weeping, woman?" And she, thinking that it was a gardener, said, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they have taken him to." And Jesus said unto her, "Mary," and she turned herself, verse 16, and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Jesus said unto her, "Don't touch me, for I am not yet ascended to my Father and to your Father. I have not yet ascended to my Father. Go and tell my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Praise the Lord. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples, the included disciples who couldn't wait for the revelation of Jesus. Now, I'm so impressed by Mary's attitude here. She wouldn't settle for angels. She wouldn't settle for napkins and grave clothes. She saw the grave clothes, but that was not enough. She saw the napkins that was used to tie his head, but that was not enough. She saw two angels. That was not enough. She had a focus, and the focus was to see Jesus himself. And she stood and kept weeping. Only God knows for how long. But she got what she wanted. And the disciples, Peter and John, had gone back. After a little search, they had gone back. They gave up too easily. And there are brethren who are behaving today like Peter and John in this contest. After searching, after seeking, after praying over that matter for a few hours or for some days or for some months, they throw in the towel and give up. But God is looking for Mary Magdalene's, who will stay still, who will stay put, who will continue to knock, who will continue to seek, who will continue to be importunate. Now, amazingly, when Jesus showed up to her, she wanted to hug Jesus. She wanted to embrace Jesus. But Jesus said, "Don't touch me, Mary, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. I have not yet ascended to my God." So my thinking here is that while Jesus was on his way to the Father, Mary's importunity made him to do a U-turn. Mary's consistence made Jesus to turn back, to come and attend to Mary and reveal himself. So all Jesus came to do was just to show up to Mary, reveal himself to Mary, and then go back. And that's why he said, "Don't touch me yet, for I haven't presented myself to my Father. I must do that presentation. I only came because of your importunity." My dear friend, this is amazing. May God give us that kind of grace and spirit and strength to be importunate in the place of prayer. Not to give up, especially when it is the will of God for us to have that particular answer. May God bless you and keep you. In the name of Jesus, may God grant you the spirit of importunity. And I want to declare over your life, you will soon have a testimony. you will soon have a miracle. Your waiting won't be in vain. Your fasting and your prayers will not be in vain. May God keep you and preserve you in Jesus' name. Until I come your way again, this is Evangelist Boyega Shita saying, remain blessed and keep shining in Jesus' name.